The theater, the theater. Bring out Louis!
Theater, theater.
To be or not to be.
Theater, theater.
Funny seeing y'all here.
Funny getting to see y'all.
And she's hi, friends.
Howdy. Hello.
It's been so long. It's been so long. We're back together again for the first time in a long time. Yeah. And we wanted to do a little check-in. Because it's... We miss y'all. We miss the listeners, and I know you miss us. Mm-hmm. So this is to let you know that we are still alive. We're still kicking. Mm-hmm. We've got theater going in our lives and in our brains, and we're going to keep making this podcast. We just needed some time.
Lots
of shit going on this last year.
Lots of shit. And you know what we're talking about. You know.
Yes.
Because we're all dealing with it.
Well, there's what that too.
Some of you might be new listeners, and so I want to introduce you. Because what podcast is this? What's the name of this podcast? I think is a good question.
Theater Pod.
Welcome to Theater Theater, the theater podcast for theater people, made by three theater makers. I'm J. Bailey Bertram.
I'm C.J. Merriman,
and I'm Scott Leggett.
That's right. And each week we get together and we discuss whatever the fuck we want.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
That's
yeah.
Right.
We vaguely
we used
start
to be a playwright
with the
podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, we used to be a playwright podcast, and we are still sticking with that in some ways. I still want to cover some playwrights here and there. We're still going to be trying to host the Theater Theater Playwright Award at the Hollywood Fringe Festival and things like this. But we also have sort of pivoted to, you know, discussing about the intersection between film and theater and also just, again, like whatever we want, because who cares? And if anyone's out there listening, thanks. And send us suggestions. If you have anything that you'd like us to cover, we will do our best. But like I said, this is just a check-in. What's coming up next? What's the first thing we're going to do next?
We're going to do our spotlight on Edward G. Excalibur, our winner of the Theater Theater Playwright Award
at last year's Fringe
2024.
Yes.
Yes.
And it was a blast. Right. Like, I really enjoyed that play. Wow.
Yes. 638. What a play.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very excited to cover that. We'll probably cover another one of his works and you know, get into it with him and find out more. And so you can follow him around and see how his career blossoms after winning the most prestigious Hollywood Fringe Award.
Yeah.
The Theater Theater Playwriting Award. What after that? Are we going to go back to what we said we were going to come out with next, which was a Bailey's pick?
Yes.
Which I think I feel very strongly about. Yeah.
I think so too.
I need to rewatch it.
Yeah, I think we should do like a live tweet rewatch where we all watch it at the same time and text each other throughout it.
Sure, sure.
But it's one of my favorite movies of all time. It's one of my top four favorite films on Letterboxd. If you go to my Letterboxd Papa B ranking, because I like ranking shit.
It's true.
It's true. I love ranking shit. But it's one of my top four on there, Synecdoche, New York.
Yeah. Is that one of your favorite Philip Seymour Hoffman performances as well?
I think it's easily in his top three, if not his top.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it's up there for me.
I also would argue it might be one of Diane Wiest's best performances.
And she's got
like
some
in her
knockouts.
Top five easily.
We forget
my favorite
Philip. Go ahead, Siege.
My favorite Philip Seymour Hoffman is Twister.
That's not true. That's blasphemous.
He is great in it.
Back to Diane. I'm sorry.
No, he is great in it. But like, if we're talking through his career, like, that's pretty low, right? Like, do you guys remember the Todd Solondz film Happiness?
Oh yes, I quote that that's a all fucked the time. Up performance. It's a fucked up performance, and I quote him all the time.
Like, yeah, just, and you know there's a sequel where everyone is recast, but it's like in the same universe with the same people.
I've
it's
never seen Wiener it. Dog. I have not seen it yet.
Kind of good.
Is it?
Kind of good, but I mean, dark, but good.
Solon's kind of, as a matter of fact, I may have even mentioned this when we did our, what's her name? I'm blanking.
Annie Baker, Carol Churchill.
No, three names.
Is it a playwright?
No.
Oh,
no.
The dames. Maggie Smith, Helen Mirren.
No, the playwright who's dead.
Who
committed suicide.
Sarah Kane?
Sarah Kane. Yes. Oh. Sarah Kane. Okay. I talked about Todd Solondz when we talked about Sarah Kane.
Yeah.
Because.
He's got some.
Yeah. What just. And I don't mean to reduce either one of them to being shocking, but they. They knew how to get under your skin more than shock, you know. And
sure,
I just really appreciate both of their works. I don't know if I love both their works, but certainly appreciate.
They're definitely also, unforgettable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, we love Diane.
Yeah.
Back to Diane. What were you going to say, Scott, about Diane?
Well, we forget, and I think sadly, not to get up on a high horse, but. I think that we often forget. Well, the Woody Allen stuff doesn't help. But the woman has two Academy Awards, and we don't invoke her name when we talk a lot about multiple Oscar winners. You know,
sure.
It's her and Christoph Waltz are the only two people to have two supporting actor Oscars, I believe.
Huh?
Is that true?
I think so.
Whoa.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
There's plenty that have one like Nicholson's got two best actor and one supporting and that kind of thing. But I think that those two are the only two that have two each for supporting specifically. I could be wrong. Are you looking it up?
We're finding out right the fuck now.
Using technology. Google
it.
Giggle it.
So Faye Bainter, 1938 actress, won for her performances in White Banners and Jezebel.
Okay.
Hmm.
Teresa Wright, 1942, won for her performances in The Pride of the Yankees and Mrs. Miniver.
Mrs. Wow. Doubtfire.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Hello!
Hello! Jessica Lange won
for
her performances in Frances and Tootsie. We forget about Tootsie.
She won for Tootsie?
That's what it says.
Okay.
Oh, shit. Won for her performances in... But it says... Oh, yeah, won. Sigourney Weaver was nominated for two, and I think that was in the same year, Gorillas in the Mist and Working Girl.
Yeah, but that was one for Best Actor, or one for Best Actress, and one for Best Supporting Actress.
These are the rest are nominations. It's all a lie. I don't know. Maybe I looked this up wrong. I don't know. It's not showing me what I wanted to.
Listeners, if you're out there and you know,
there are people screaming at their radio right
correct
now.
Good.
Correct.
Good.
Hey, digression. I texted you both earlier. Yeah. Shakespeare's birthday. Happy birthday, Bill.
Hey there, Bill Shakespeare.
As we record this today, April 23rd.
Yeah. I mean, he was okay.
He's all right.
If he even existed.
Fine. If he was even real.
Yeah.
That's Jesus, CJ.
Jesus, Bill Shakespeare.
Same shit, different
same
toilet.
Same shit, yeah.
So, they both wrote pretty shitty books, if you ask
me. Really.
I don't like their stuff.
Made bad tables.
Yeah, that's implying that
I don't know if
Jesus
William Shakespeare was a carpenter.
Or whatever. Yeah, he probably was. he did a lot. Okay.
Covered a lot of ground.
There's not a whole lot else we want to talk about. You, Scott, you said you had a show you wanted to shout out.
I do. Thank you. I got to see a production at the Broadwater Theater Facility, performance facility, at which I work. And so the show was playing and, you know, you get friendly with all of the renters in the building. And so I was like, oh, I should go see this show. And it was everything that small theater should aspire to be. It was called The Unraveling. It was a devised piece conceived and directed by Catherine Noon for the Ghost Road Theater Company. And it was simply marvelous. Like, and when I say that, I mean that they used every trick in the book, like every theatrical little trick that you can pull off, but pulled it off beautifully. Anne Noble was the lead actress in it. She's kind of a regular in the small theater community here in Los Angeles. And she just was fantastic. And basically it was the story of a woman, an older woman played by Anne, who's a professor, and she's teaching the Odyssey, and her students are all checked out like millennials on their phones. And she has a meltdown that of course is recorded and put all over the internet. So she gets canceled. But
Gen Z, let's be clear.
Gen Z. Sorry. Gen Z.
Millennials.
Stop pointing at us. Millennials still.
Sorry.
Millennials are just watching their movies.
We're approaching middle age.
Millennials are just watching Hook over and over again.
Over and over again. Driving me mad. So in it being a sort of a vague retelling or incorporating of elements of the Odyssey, like it had a chorus. And the three women that were in the chorus were extraordinary. And they were different ages, different sizes, different colors. Like it was just, and the whole show opens with this sort of beautiful, very kind of modern table sitting in the middle of the stage. And they're just running their hands and slamming it. And they're singing. And the lights come up. Beautiful lighting production by Brandon Baruch, who's also sort of a regular in small LA theater. And she's at a loom, and she's weaving at a loom, hence the title Unraveling. And then it's just about this series of connections that she has. It's about mothers and daughters. It's about communicating. It's about connecting and sort of recharging yourself. It's about women aging. But as the show goes on, like they do, she befriends a young man who lives near her who's a video gamer. And so they retell portions of the Odyssey as a video game live on stage. And it was hilarious and funny and well executed. There's a sequence where they use a series of like six iPads to create Anne's face. And then the puppeteers are moving it on a very black space with her in a spotlight. So her face is breaking up and rotating around her. But it was just marvelous. It was just inspiring to see the execution. You had the chorus folks. You had a fantastic group of ensemble movement people and puppeteers. And then three really strong performances. Nothing earth-shattering in terms of a story. Just elegant and simple in its thing. 95 minutes.
Good
95 minutes
nice.
In and out, and I'm like,
nice.
Just gave it applause. Like it was exactly what I needed to see at that point. Like I'd seen some other well done stuff recently, but stuff that I didn't particularly care for, either because of the script or story or messaging or whatever. But that was just like, damn, that's how you do it. That's how you do a show, you know. So I just wanted to shout that out. And Mark Seldes, who's the head of Ghost Road Theater Company and who was the producer on the show, is just a marvelous, charming human being who just fucking loves theater. And it was great
that
just
rules.
To watch that and see that. So,
Scott, when are you going to put up the Skryker?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, man.
Put up the fucking Skryker.
I
coward.
How big is that cast? I can't remember. It's like
seven.
Yeah, it's not too crazy.
Particularly big.
I don't need to direct that. I should produce it, but I need to find a badass moment to direct it.
Put it up. Yeah. Mm. Cool. Well, is there anything else we need to say, or should we get out of here?
I have a review that we got recently on Apple Podcasts that I
have to
motherfucking share. Like, this is after, like, nothing for over a year.
Yeah. Our last one was bad.
Yes, the guy that said we were a painful waste of time. Yes. Gio, by the way, hey, are you single? Yeah. So on March 30th of this year, we got a 1-star review.
Yes.
From American Woman USA.
Oh, no way.
The title of it is in all caps, Nitwits.
Got it. Mm-hmm,
and mm-hmm. The review is 4 words long. Boring, basic, mean lefties. And so
right
what I want to ask.
That's a 5-star for me.
Yeah.
What I want to ask American Woman USA is, are you single?
Yeah, right.
I love that because
I do too.
Because I wonder what episode she listened to or they listened to. Because we do, you know, we say shit. We are definitely. I would call myself. I've gone maybe past lefty at this point. I think I've gone so far the other direction.
Oh, I'm a fucking Trotskyite these days. Like, I'm just like,
yeah, like I'm an anarchist.
Let's rip the millionaires out of their fucking mansions and drag them into the, the street. Like,
if she's calling us basic being mean lefties, she had to have gotten in here for Andrew Lloyd Webber. Or, like, to me, this is a podcast that you would pick up and say, like, oh, there's something I know. I'm going to listen to that episode. And someone that calls us lefties, I can't imagine. I mean, maybe I'm being judgmental here. But, like, I can say when I lived in the Red Midwest, the only thing that came through were national tours of big, dumb musicals. So,
Yeah.
Maybe even, like, Jesus Christ Superstar or something. Didn't
we
do
nice about that, though.
That?
Yeah, about the movie. When we did musicals turned into movies.
I probably mouthed off about Jesus.
Yeah. You leave Ted Neely alone.
Ted Neely.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus. Like the historical figure.
I mean, they're the same person.
Shakespeare didn't exist.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, here's my thought on that. Is like, yeah. Yep.
Yep.
Like We are a boring podcast to people who aren't super theater minded. We just are. Because we're talking about things from the perspective of people who are in it, who are doing it, who are makers of theater. So yeah, we are a bit boring. Basic is like an easy thing to just say at somebody you're mad at. Like, you're basic. Like,
yeah
we don't get super deep into, yes, we're coming from a perspective of like being theater makers, but we don't go like super ham on like dramaturgical analysis and like we don't care about that. Like, we were just talking before we started recording, like, let's just digress and talk about fucking whatever the hell we want. Like, it doesn't matter. So like, yes, sure, boring, basic, mean. Yeah,
I get called mean a lot the last
couple years.
Yeah, I mean,
when we deal with trash, we're gonna call it trash. And when we deal with playwrights that are, you know, okay, like, I think the last review sort of mentioned Edward Albee. Like, yeah, we were kind of rough on Edward Albee, but it's because we're looking at him from a 2024, whatever year it was, like, lens.
He's dated in a lot of ways.
He's dated. It's like, if we covered Mammoth, it would just be a screaming, this fucker needs to go away. Like, we would have so many mean things to say. Neil LaBute, we'd be talking about taking shits the whole time, right? Like, we are here in some ways as critics, and we're going to be honest, and we're going to be kind of mean. But also, like, we love each other, and we love the theater community, and we love people who are making that a better place. And guess what? Righties, to combat the lefties, like, are not making the arts a good place to be right now.
In fact,
they're defunding them. Yeah. They are literally defunding it and supporting that. And beyond that I'm going to be real mean right now, are terrible people and are ignorant and have gone towards the darkness in ways that they can't. Like, I just always think about these people watching Star Wars, or these people watching any movie.
Lord of the Rings.
Anything. Lord of the Rings, and being like, I'm Frodo. And I'm like, you're
not. You're not.
you're straight up not.
You know?
And it's okay to have differing opinions all day.
Yeah.
But at this time, where especially in our industry and arts industries and I'm in Vermont now, so I think a lot about like the farming industries. We just had 8 farm workers deported out of Vermont.
Fuck.
And a guy who was standing up for Palestinian rights just got picked up by 6 guys in hoods at immigration center. He got called in to be asked to
take a final test or something, right?
Take
for
a
his
final
citizenship.
Test, and that was a guy who comes to Northern Stage shows where I work, right? So it's like, I am watching it happen even in Bernie Sanders' state.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So fuck you,
American woman, USA.
Well, it's...
Jesus Christ.
It's the difference between putting people in harm's way and wanting to protect and lift up people. And that's kind of the line in the sand for me. Whether or not I will ever be able to forgive and forget anybody that supported this guy and this regime and this state of things, I don't know if I ever will. And you can say it's a difference of politics, and I'm saying no. It is a difference between whether or not you accept other human beings and their right to live and exist and be happy, or trying to erase them. And that's where we're at, and that's a line. So I'm a mean fucking lefty all fucking day. Let's get in
American
my face about
USA.
It.
And if your argument is that we're too mean, then I just wonder what your sort of definition of like morality is in general. Because like being mean is not the same as being evil and ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a cuck.
And well, yeah, you're American Woman USA. You're a total
but not
cuck.
In a sexy way.
Not in a hot way. Not in like a Pornhub kind of way, but in like a ex-hamster kind of way. Or I don't know what I'm talking about. But
ex-hamster gets dirty.
Hamster ex?
Ex-hamster.
Yeah, we don't even. Yeah, it's like,
sorry.
They're like,
we shouldn't be shouting out porn sites.
Want to fuck someone
right
in your
now.
Family? And I'm like, no.
Yeah. No.
My final thing I'll say, and I'm sorry I keep co-opting this American Woman discussion.
Stay away
it's
from
like,
me.
The epitome of it is the other day, I don't know if I told you all this, the other day, I live in Vermont, right on the edge of Vermont and New Hampshire, so I live in a very weird place. There's a Planned Parenthood right next to my theater where a guy who has, like, a Trump, like it looks like Trump is sitting in his passenger seat in his
Jesus
car because he has
Lord.
The sticker decal, and it says D-O-G-E, Musk, on the back
Jesus
of his car really
Christ.
Big, and he stands in front of the Planned Parenthood, which does not perform abortions, by the way, this one. He stands in front of it almost every day with a sign that says abortion is murder and a Trump hat and a MAGA hat. And we allow him to be here because he has the right. And we're all like, sure, whatever. But the other day I saw his car and he does have a sticker that says Trump 2024, fuck your feelings. And right next to him was a car that had a sign that said Harris Walls 2024, bring America back together again.
Yeah, I mean.
And I was like, one is a call for the end of empathy.
Yeah.
And one is a call for like, what if we like all work together? Like, I just can't.
I know. It's
yeah.
Cognitive
I can't, like,
dissonance.
Parse that.
Yeah.
And there's obviously the people that would say, and they've already stopped listening at this point, so it doesn't matter. But like, there are obviously the people who would say like, well, they're just saying that so that you think you're being moral, but they're actually snakes in the grass.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think, like we said earlier, like I've actually been radicalized so far past that I just don't even, I'm like, I don't even care about any of it anymore.
No.
Like I'm going to go home and love my family, and I'm going to love the people around me, and I'm going to fight in ways that I can.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Fuck
yeah, that's
feelings.
It. That's
Trump
it. 24. That's it. Yeah. Fuck your feelings. Oh, okay. Then what are you upset feelings. About? What are you upset about? You cucks.
We're mean. We're
mean cucks. Wait, are we cucks? No, American Woman's a cuck.
American Woman's a cuck.
I love you guys. I love you guys. I'm glad we got
too.
Political. Fucking free Palestine. I just want to let the listeners know we are back in action. We're going to bring you sweet, sweet podcasting juices to your ears.
Yes.
The next episode will probably be dropped in the next 2 weeks to a month, and then Synecdoche will try to do swiftly after. I think we're going to try to do one episode a month. Is that what we decided?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
Every
see
other
how
month.
It goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we'll keep it up because we got shit to say. As
yes.
You can tell.
Yeah.
Anyway, I love you guys.
Love you back.
We don't need to do the close out. Bye.
Yeah. We'll get back to the regular stuff later. Hey, thanks everybody. Thank you both. I love you both so much.
Love you.
And
back.
At least we did get to see you fairly recently, Bailey, here on on the
That's
left.
That's true. I'll
coast.
Probably be back around. Yeah, I'll probably come back this summer sometime too. And then I think I'm going to do a week or two there in early August because there's a few of my Shakespeare Youth Fest kids graduating.
Oh, wow.
And they're doing a final Rin run. I don't know what show yet, so I kind of want to come back and be part of that, but we'll see.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, friends.
I might be in Big Bear doing theater. Theater in Big Bear.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Equity contract, I'll take it. Love you, everybody. Meow, meow, meow. Meow, meow, meow. Meow, meow, meow.
I was gonna sing a song, but
I got one.
This feels weird now. Go.
I'm just a little person, one person in a scene.
The theater, the theater.
Theater.